You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I want to talk about Donald Trump because I think he's going to be our next president of the United States. Now, there's a lot of Republicans and Democrats, a lot of the media that would, I guess some of them would move out of the country. Oh, wouldn't that be too bad? Maybe some, unfortunately, would commit suicide. I don't think that's going to happen. They just say that. They're somewhat of drama queens. But he would really shake up the establishment, or at least that is the expectation. Now, whether he follows through is another question. But Donald Trump today, in a way, reset his campaign or took it to a new level by having a book signing. He has a new book, Crippled America, How to Make America Great Again. I think it'll be a bestseller, because they were lined up around the block to get into Trump Tower where he was having the book signing. And I wish him well. And he is going to donate all the profits from the sales to charity, which is very commendable. But it reminded me of something. And this is the reaction of what I call the political elitist establishment, the P's for short. They have been trying to first dismiss Donald Trump. And when he, because they never really thought he would run. And when he obviously was going to run and announced, they attacked him and his organization. But they started to call him names. The favorite was, he's just a clown. Well, the clown is now on top. I think he's getting the last laugh on the political elitist establishment and their fellow travelers on the various networks, including Fox. The problem with the people in Washington, they are disconnected with the American people. The reason Donald Trump is leading in the polls is not because he doesn't understand the American people. It is that our elected representatives have lost sight of the fact that the most powerful position in this country is American citizen. It's not representative, it's not senator, it's not president. It's American citizen, and we're tired of both political parties trying to diminish that by allowing 30 to 50 million minimum illegal aliens into this country. You see, Donald Trump made immigration the wedge issue that it is, and that was a no-no. That was what both parties simply did not want to happen. Why? It squarely shows the hypocrisy of both political parties in Washington, D.C., and what they're doing to this country. The Republican Party leadership, most of them, if not all of them, have sold out. They are bought and paid for by the donor class. And Donald Trump knows that because he's a member of the donor class, or at least was, because he is very, very wealthy. And it's the very wealthy in this country that make large campaign contributions to both parties, mainly to the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is no longer the party of the working man, because if they were, they would be against illegal immigration and really for limiting immigration. Instead, what are they for in terms of the Democratic Party? The more the merrier. And there's an article in one of the papers that I was reading last night, apparently someone leaked. There was a conference of Department of Homeland Security, and they were talking various options. And I didn't really review this before the show, but I was reading it late last night. Various options as to how should we play this. Remember, we're waiting for a decision from a Texas judge. He's already, remember, 26 states have sued the federal government to stop what our president is doing. What our president it's doing is illegal, folks, besides being unconstitutional. So the 26 states, at least 26 states, want this stopped. But the only way you're going to stop it, and even there it's a little bit problematical, is if you get a court order that clearly says to the president, you're breaking the law, you should cease and desist, and if you don't, you and members of your administration run the risk of being thrown in jail. Now, the president isn't going to be thrown in jail. He should be impeached. But the Republican Party are gutless wonders, at least the leadership. They're not going to impeach him now. They're afraid of this president. You saw what they did last week. They're in bed with this president, and that's the problem. Both parties have sold out the American people, and Donald Trump is calling him on it. That's why the media, left, right, center, television and print are really out to get Donald Trump. And Donald Trump understands this. He's a big boy. He understood this was going to happen. He was a little bit surprised that he quickly took the lead, but he's been gaining momentum. And that's what worries the P's, the political elitist establishment in Washington. He's leading in the polls. Yes, Ben Carson in Iowa only, is giving Donald Trump a run for his money. But you don't carry one state and get the nomination. You have to have a national campaign, and that means you have to be in all the states, or at least the majority of states, to get the majority of the delegates. And that's key, and that's where Donald Trump has the lead, for the simple reason he has the money, he has the organization, he obviously has the message that's resonating with the American people. Momentum? I think he has the momentum. Oh, he's going to be slowed down after every debate. But remember, what happens when we have these debates? Now, I think the other contestants are learning. Initially, they went after Trump. That was the game. Pin the tail on the donkey. And the donkey was Donald Trump. The problem is, after every debate, why the networks would say, well, Marco Rubio won the last debate, or John Kasich won, or Chris Christie. When the dust was settled, the American people, and they count, said, no, Donald Trump won the debate. Now, I want to be fair to everybody. I don't think Donald Trump won all three debates. He doesn't have to win the debates. What he has to win is the primaries, and I think he understands that. Polls are just snapshots. They're an indication as to how well or how poorly a candidate is doing in the race. And Donald Trump is doing very well, thank you very much. And I do think his new book, now I haven't had time to read it because it's just out today, will probably give him an uptick. Remember, he's been roughly between the 25 and 35 yard line, if you will. His percentages are roughly in that range. Sometimes it's a little lower, sometimes higher. He's been in the 40s. But the point I'm trying to make is he's about or more than halfway to the nomination if those polls can be translated into votes when Election Day happens. Like today in Texas, there is an election primarily on bonds, school bonds. So I'm not going to bore you with that, but it's important to the people in Dallas and surrounding areas. So people are going to the polls. Well, a lot of people can't wait because in a year, we go to the polls and elect the next president. Now, if you're trying to pin me down, if the election were held today, I think Donald Trump would win. The problem is it's not being held today. And that's the key point. We're 90 days away from, actually less than 90 days away from the first primary or caucus in Iowa. As it stands now, it looks like Donald Trump won't come in first. But I wouldn't count him out because he really hasn't spent a lot of his money where you can see it. In other words, he hasn't been running political ads or commercials on radio and television, and that would be rather foolish. Rick Perry did, and even Ted Cruz has, but Donald Trump has not wasted his money on that for the simple reason reason, he doesn't need to. You see, the networks are all about ratings. And if you follow the networks, their viewership has fallen. Donald Trump, at least up to now, is a hot show. It gets all the networks out, and they're covering the events where Donald Trump is making the appearance. Why? It attracts viewers. And viewers mean they can sell ads because their ratings are high. Follow the money, folks. Money counts. In politics, as well as business, and those who have the money or the gold make the rules. And Donald Trump is breaking all the rules and making new ones. Because right now, the political establishment of the Republican Party is banging its head against the wall for the simple reason their candidate was Jeb Bush. And Jeb Bush, if you look at the polls, I believe he's under 10%. Let me double check that. Yep, he's at 8%. The latest Republican presidential nomination, this is the NBC Wall Street Journal, has Jeb Bush at 8, Cruz at 10, Rubio at 11, Carson at 29, and Trump at 23. So by that poll, and I always are very skeptical of NBC polls, Carson's leading. But it's only, that's just the snapshot. If you go further down to the Florida, and this is the reason I'm picking this, is Florida is a winner-take-all state, and there are 90 delegates up. What is Donald Trump doing? Well, first, who would you expect to win in Florida? I would have expected Jeb Bush to be the leader. Well, where is Bush? Man, I'm not even seeing George Bush. Did he something happen? Oh, there he is. He's at 7%. Rubio, and remember, Jeb Bush was the mentor to Marco Rubio, is at 16%. Looks like Mr. Bush doesn't have too long before he should do the right thing and pull out. He's not going to pull out. He's not going to suspend his campaign. You know, they never stop their campaign. They suspend their campaign like Rick Perry did. But give it time. Eventually, Bush will have to make that announcement that I'm suspending my campaign. Well, if he loses Florida, I think that's game, set, match for Mr. Bush. And Rubio, why, is together they have 23%. So maybe Bush would bite the bullet and get out now and give Marco a chance. I don't think that's going to happen, do you? Nah. I think they're really at each other's throats, which is exactly where Donald Trump wants them. Now, what about Carson? You know, he's doing so well in Iowa. And I understand that because Iowa has a lot of evangelicals. But in Florida, not so much. Carson is beating Rubio and Bush, but he's at 17%. I wonder where Donald Trump is. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. He's at 37%. You'd have to add Carson up and Rubio up. Now, if you put Bush in there, all three together could beat Trump. But it's not going to happen because all three are running separate races. So right now, if the primary were held today, I think Donald Trump would win going away, don't you? I do. The point is not to pay too much attention to any one single poll. It's the trend. And the trend for Donald Trump is up, up, and away. Now, the political elitist establishment or the leadership of the Republican Party wish Donald Trump would go away. But Donald Trump is really eating the candy of the political elitist establishment. And they're crying like little babies. And they don't know what to do but cry, cry, cry. And their fellow travelers on Fox and other networks are still being critical of Donald. They've toned it down just a hair. But you know they can't stand the guy. And any chance they get, they're going to stick the knife in. That's what they're about. That's what they're for. And the majority of the press or mainstream media and the other networks, as well as print, they're trying to be the one that kills Donald Trump. Not literally, but takes him out politically where he's no longer a factor. And if you do that, you'll be a hero amongst the progressive liberals that about 95% of the mainstream media is. They seldom, if ever, vote for a Republican. They vote the straight Democratic Party ticket. They're biased. Although they try, at least the reporters try, not very hard, but they try to be objective. Yeah, objective. You see, what's the problem with the media today? Over the last 20 to 30 years, their viewership has gone down, down, and down. Now, there are a number of reasons for that. But the biggest two reasons, and I can think of others, but the biggest two reasons, one is the internet. Because today, individuals, and you only have to walk around and observe this, go to a college campus, a school, or really on the streets, what do you see people doing? Their heads are down and they're looking at usually their smartphone and looking at something that is of interest for them on the internet. So a lot of the viewership that at one time TV and movies was more or less it for getting your information is no longer the case. People can search the internet for whatever they're interested in. If they're not interested in politics, but interested in, let's say, the last football game, they can easily find videos and reports and articles on the internet. What does that mean? That means people are not watching or reading newspapers. I used to read on Sundays the Dallas Morning News. I haven't looked at a Dallas Morning newspaper in years. I would say at least 10, and probably more like 15 or 20. Why? Because today, if I want information, first thing I do is I go to the internet. Primarily Drudge, just if it's news, I'll go to Drudge. Or I go to YouTube and see if there's any videos. I'll also Google it or Bing it and try to get articles on the specific topic or event that I'm interested in. That's what people do today. So to make a long story short, the media in this country, mainly the television networks as well as the newspapers, have lost subscribers and viewers. Their monopoly or cartel is diminishing. And they used to more or less set the agenda and told you what you should be thinking. Not anymore. And that is driving them crazy. Because they thought, truly, that they could take out Donald Trump. Now, maybe they can. It's still early. I doubt it, but they're not going to stop. And see, Donald Trump knows how to play the press or both the networks and the newspapers because he eats it up. I was listening to his latest press conference where he took at least 30 questions from various people of the media, and I'm going to play you one of them in a minute. But he obviously enjoys it. It sort of reminds me of JFK. He also enjoyed it. A lot of politicians hate it because it involves preparation, and let's face it, the media is out to get you. It's called gotcha journalism, and they know if they can make a political candidate or a president, senator, or representative respond in a way that's not appropriate, that's going to run on their news television station nationally. So Donald Trump gets a lot of media attention. He goes outside his apartment or outside Trump Tower, and there's a lot of people that are following him. Now let me play what I thought was the most important part of this rollout of the book. It was really the lead up to the book signing. And before I do that, though, I want to call to your attention, if you're new to the Pronk Pop show, the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And the first thing you'll see is a picture of me in the studio, but right under it, you'll have links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. But under that, you'll have YouTube videos, photographs, articles, polls on the story I'm commenting upon. So what I'd like to run, it's a brief clip, it's less than 2 minutes. This was a question, I believe, asked by a CNN reporter. And let me just play it.
Do I think that it's time for some of the other Republicans in the race that are registering zero? In a couple of cases, they have zero with an arrow pointing left, which I assume is a mistake because that's less than zero. I assume that's not happening. Do I think it's time to have some of the other Republican candidates drop out? Yes. There are too many people. Well, I don't want to get personal, but you can look at the poll numbers. Look, if a person's been campaigning for 4 or 5 months and they're at 0 or 1 or 2%, they should get out. Like, you know, look at me. I go to Florida and look at the numbers that just came out in Florida. 37%. Georgia. Those are real numbers. These numbers that these people have, and I often ask myself, I asked Mark yesterday, What are they doing? Do they do this for their brand? Because I happen to think it's very bad for their brand. I think Walker did a good thing. I think the way Walker, he saw it wasn't happening, wasn't going to happen, and he just got out quickly. You know, he was favored, don't forget. You know, now that was before Trump was going to happen, right? But he was favored for a period of time. He was favored. Walker, Governor Walker, they thought he was going to win. What happened is he got out. I think the way he got out was great. I think he did a really smart thing for himself. And frankly, other people should get out, because I would like to personally have more time to talk about the problems of the United States, and more importantly, how to solve the problems, because we can solve the problems.
I couldn't agree more with Donald Trump on this. I think there are way, way too many candidates. And I think really that hurts the Republican Party, because imagine if you only had three or four. Here on out, three or four on the stage, as opposed to 10 and the children's. You have 10 in the main debate and another four, I believe, in the pre-debate, if you will, debates amongst the people that more or less have zero. Now, Donald Trump wouldn't mention names, but let me mention the names. Jindal, Santorum, Pataki, Graham, they're at zero. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, there are 14 candidates. Those four should get out. Now, when they want to do it, that's up to them. Santorum, probably of those four, will stick it out the longest, because he has won in Iowa and other states last time. So it's going to be difficult for him this time to pull the plug, because he still believes in, or hope, if you will, that he might be able to pull it out. He might be able to pull it out. I don't think so. But eventually, he will come to the conclusion it simply wasn't his year. He needed to win it in 2012, and Mitt Romney did and lost. The other one I don't think is going to get out is Chris Christie, because he's one of the establishment candidates. He's at 3%. Kasich is also at 3%. Now, I need to make clear, and I did on the last show, there in my mind, there are four, maybe five, what I would call establishment candidates. At one time, Jeb Bush was the establishment candidate. He was the front runner. He was the person to beat, and he has been beaten down, largely by Trump, but a lesser extent by Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio, because of the last debate, is now ahead of Bush. He has 11%. He also is another establishment candidate. He's also, in terms of the Republican Party, he is the neocon candidate. He was the Tea Party candidate, but many of the people that were in the Tea Party movement, including me, consider him a traitor to the cause, for the simple reason once he got elected and got in the Senate, he became buddy buddies with Lindsey Graham, John McCain. He is on the Foreign Policy Committee. He's the new poster boy for the neocons. And the neocons, that is their candidate. And if you listen to Republican radio, such as Bill Benich, Morning in America show, or whatever the title it is, as well as Hewitt's talk radio show, they favor Rubio. Now, Hewitt says, I don't have, trying to be fair, because I interview all of them, and he is. But I think deep down, Rubio, maybe even Santorum, if he had his druthers, would be his candidate. Now he's in a position where he can't, because he's going to be a moderator. He already was, but you didn't see much of him. But he's going to be a moderator on, I believe, another, I think he was on CNN, on another CNN debate. So he can't play favorites. But many in talk radio that are neocons, although many of them just say, well, I'm a conservative. Well, not really. Because many of them were former Democrats, progressives that left the Democratic Party and found a new home in the Republican Party. And they, I call them warmongers, because there's very few wars that they don't want the United States to get involved in. And that's the problem with the neocon wing, because the majority of the American people have had it up to here with wars in the Middle East. They've seen their sons and daughters be killed, seriously wounded. They've seen us spend upwards of $2 trillion in counting. And they've also seen the walking wounded that are not being really treated well in the Veterans Administration hospitals. All of that is the price you pay when you intervene in a country. So Rubio, I don't think Bush or Rubio are going to get the nomination. Chris Christie is a possibility, but he's at 3%. So I think he's another that really should do everyone a favor, but he's not going to do everyone a favor. He's going to stick it out at least through New Hampshire. Now, if he loses in New Hampshire and South Carolina, I think he's gone. And the same thing with John Kasich. At one time, I was a big supporter of John Kasich. Not anymore. That's when he was in Congress, not when he was a governor of Ohio. He's also at 3%. So those are the primary four establishment candidates, namely Bush, Rubio, Christie, and Kasich. Now, the fifth could be Carly Fiorina. She's very much a moderate Republican in disguise, very articulate. Most of these people are very articulate. That's the one common denominator. But she's only at 3%. So if you added up the zeros, Graham, Jindal, Santorum, Pataki, maybe they have 1%. But for all practical purposes, they're at zero. And add up the three threes, Kasich, Christie, Fiorina, that's 9. Add Jeb Bush in at 8, that's 17. You're still not beating Trump at 23 or Carson at 29. See, the establishment or the political elitist establishment has a big problem because they've taken all this money from the donor class. Now, the donor class is rolling in money. I'm not crying tears for them. They buy politicians on the cheap. They get them at discount prices. Because they know if a politician wants the big bucks, they're the only game in town. And they don't do it as a charity. They do it because they want something and demand something. Not only do they expect access, quick access, and their phone calls return, when they want something, they expect the politicians to deliver the vote and really get the results. And unfortunately for Jeb Bush, he's not delivered the results. He should be, Bush today, should be in the 30%. He's not in the 30%. He's in single digits. And if he doesn't have a good debate performance next week, he's toast. That will literally be his last chance. And like I said, if if Jeb Bush hits a grand slam home run in the next debate, he's back. Maybe he'll get back to 10 or 11%, might even be ahead of Rubio at 12. But he's still less than half where Trump is. See, Trump is the person to beat. He's the front runner. And that's where he wants to be. That's where he expects to be. And he's going to take the actions it takes to make sure he wins. You shouldn't be way back at 0, 1, 2, or 3. So I agree with Donald Trump that the zeros, the ones, the twos, and I would go further, the threes should drop out. Will they drop out? Maybe one or two after the next debate. Most of them will be gone by March. Not all of them, but most of them. By the end of March, all those people will be gone. Why? Because by then, Donald Trump will have turned these poll numbers into delegates. And that's the important point here. The polls are simply snapshots. If you look at a series of polls over time, you're getting an idea of how the candidates are doing. Do they have momentum either upwards or downwards? Are they surging in the polls or are they falling? Are they in free fall or are they plateauing? You see, the media has been trying for the last really 2 months to say Donald Trump is plateauing or he's losing to Ben Carson. Well, yeah, in Iowa, but not nationally and certainly not in New Hampshire, which is the one that follows it. But they will mislead you because their mission, and I think it's mission impossible, is to take out Donald Trump. In other words, make sure that he becomes severely damaged goods and truly does initially plateau in the polls and then falls in the polls, the quicker the better. I think there's a lot of wishful thinking going on because you always have to get back to what does it take to be a successful presidential candidate? And there's not just one thing. Mama. Don't forget Mama. Money organization. Message, momentum, and ambition. Ambition means you have fire in the belly. You want it. Donald Trump has fire in the belly. He certainly has the money. It will remains to be seen whether he has a good organization. Only time will tell. And the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the results. The message? His message resonates with the American people because he has picked the one issue. And there's several, but he has picked the one issue where both Democrats, Republicans, progressives, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, communists, socialists, welfare statists, where the majority over many polls for many years have said, we want illegal immigration stopped. See, that's what they call a 70-30 or an 80-20 issue. I've been following that on and off. Usually about, at a minimum, 2 out of 3 want illegal immigration stopped. Sometimes it's 3 out of 4. Even rarely it gets up to 80%. It all depends how the question is worded, and that's rather key. But the bottom line is the American people want illegal immigration stopped, and they've said that now for over a decade. This is not a new issue. The reason why it doesn't go away is you have a establishment in Washington, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, that fundamentally disagrees and wants to ignore the will of the American people. That's what's going on. It's not hard to explain why Donald Trump is in the lead. He got in the lead because he came out strong on illegal immigration and the damage it's doing to this country. Do I think he's perfect on the immigration issue? No. Numbers USA rates all the candidates. Their rating for Donald Trump is A-. Last time I checked, the only candidate that had a solid A was Rick Santorum. The problem is Rick Santorum is one of those zeros, one, twos, or threes. Depends on the poll. He's not going to get the nomination unless there's a miracle. And I don't think this time there's going to be a miracle. I rate him a solid B. He's not perfect. And what I mean by that, first, you have to tell the American people the size and the scope of the problem. That is absolutely essential. And Donald Trump, why on occasion has mentioned 30 million as his high number. He really needs to start out, and hopefully in the campaign he'll do this. Remember, and this is an important point, you're not going to show all your cards, especially this early. You first have to get the nomination, and that's critical. And right now you're running against 14 people. So he's going to play his cards close to the vest, but he can't play it too close. You got to tell people, what is your position? And he has. He has position papers on this and a number of other issues. What I think you'll see happen, especially after the release of this book today, is you'll see more position papers on his website. And I need a note to go check his website because I haven't checked it in a week or two. But you'll see more position papers, and that's only to be expected because as you get into more debates and as you deliver more and more stump speeches, you need new material. You see, if you're part of the press, and the press knows this, they've heard that stump speech over and over and over and over again. And Donald Trump understands that. You know, I've heard him say, listen, there are only about 10 subjects that I talk about. And that fills an hour. If you spend 5-6 minutes on each, that easy fills an hour. The problem is, especially with YouTube today, many people have heard the speech. You assume, though, and you must assume, this is the first time they've heard it. In other words, if you're giving your stump speech that you have given many, many times, and you're going to get better at it, and Donald Trump is getting better at his stump speech, but so are the other candidates. What's different, for example, when I came to this studio today, or the newsroom first to do the show prep, I wasn't sure exactly what was going to be the subject of the show. I more or less said to follow up yesterday's show, and I apologize again. For those that listened to the show, what happened was I gave a really good 30 minutes. Unfortunately, it wasn't being recorded for the simple reason I didn't press the button that you have to, it's absolutely essential to be pressed, so nobody heard it. And Mondays are bad days because I have to get somewhere exactly at 5:40. So I lost the first 30 minutes, and I think I cut it down to 15, 16 minutes. That actually was a condensation of what I said in 30 minutes. But I don't have a script. I'm not giving the same stump speech over and over again. I talk on different subjects, and it's largely driven by what is the news story of the day. Sometimes there isn't any news story that really catches my eye. sometimes there's several and you got to pick, and sometimes you pick two or three if you have the studio time. I like that to happen, for example, on a Friday. And a lot of news does break on Friday because I usually have 2, 3, or 4 hours if they're doing the newspaper. So it gives me more time. That does not occur, however, for example, on Tuesdays. I thought I wasn't having a show today because the district board has its meeting and I'm preempted. Well, they decided to defer that because of election day, and I'm looking at the clock and I have to wrap up the show shortly. So Donald Trump is getting better and better on his stump speech, but he knows he has to add new material, and he will add new material. He's ramping up his campaign. And what's driving him nuts, and it's driving me nuts, there are just too many people, and there's at least 4 to 8 that should drop out if they're honest with themselves. They're not really doing themselves a favor. And Donald Trump understands that. That's why he congratulated. And I agree, Scott Walker did the right thing by taking himself out. Remember, before Trump got in the campaign, the leader was Scott Walker. Well, the leader got out because he didn't see his campaign taking off. He thought he was going to do well in Iowa, and that wasn't happening. Why? Because you had Ben Carson, you had Donald Trump, you also had Ted Cruz. So it wasn't going to be easy for Scott Walker to win Iowa. And momentum is everything, and you need money. That's the other thing. You need money. He knew what he was up against, and I think he made the intelligent and class way to get out early. I don't expect those other candidates. Some might surprise me. I think there are at least 4 that should drop out today. Will they? Nah. They like the attention. Politicians like the attention. They like to talk. They're articulate, so they're going to talk. It's their opportunity. It's their 15 seconds of fame, if you will. Is anyone listening? I'm not listening to the ones at their children table, the one the pre-debate, I'm not listening to. And I'm sure I'm missing some good one-liners. But those people have a snowball's chance in hell of being the next nominee. So I wish they would take Donald Trump's advice. Will they? Well, because it's coming from Donald Trump, they're never going to take his advice. Ultimately, what will drive them out is a lack of money. Number one, follow the money. But number one is money. Number two is Donald Trump or someone else starts winning by big margins the primaries. And that'll happen in February and March. Especially, I believe March 1st is the day that Texans go to the polls. And we have a lot of delegates. So you're probably going to have to wait, Donald, Mr. Trump, until the end of March. And then the winnowing really begins. By then, I think you'll be down to 4 or 5. And then it gets real serious. And by then, we'll know who those 4 or 5 are. I think it will be Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, maybe Bush. I think Bush is going to stay in to the end of March, though. Those are the 5. Whether he will stay on beyond March, probably because he has the money. But those are the 5. Let me repeat. Trump, Carson, Cruz, Rubio, Bush. The rest, I'm sorry, but the best thing you could do for the American people, really the best thing that you could do for yourselves, is drop out. Will they? Nah. They like the spotlight, the attention. But that gets old. Campaigns are really tough. It's a 24/7. It largely consists of repeating the message over and over and over again and having it sound like it was the very first time you said that. In other words, you're more or less following a script. You're not reading it because, let's face it, after about 3 or 4 weeks, if you don't know your lines and don't have the speech in your head, you probably shouldn't be running in the first place. So I want to salute Donald Trump and congratulate him for his new book. I'm looking forward to looking at it. And let me make clear, I'm not endorsing any candidate. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I am a classical liberal. That's my political philosophy. I am looking for a candidate that comes closest to that. And Donald Trump doesn't. But Donald Trump has picked the one issue that I have said for several years, this is not new with me, that the candidate, I don't care if it was a Democrat or Republican, that would make immigration the wedge issue, is a contender. And Donald Trump is a contender. Whether or not he can put it away remains to be seen. Someone asked me, how do I rate it? I rate it a B. I said, what's your problem with it? I said, I'm not hearing anything about really how do you stop the invasion? How do you roll the invasion back? You roll the way you have people on their own accord that are here illegally, illegal aliens, and they're 30 to 50 million minimum. I think today it might be closer to 60 million. And that's what Donald Trump needs to say, and he's not saying it. That's a red flag. You always need to say an estimate. What is the size of the problem? No one really knows the number. It's certainly not the 11 or 12 million you hear on all the radio stations, all the television stations, and the leadership. I don't have time to make the case, but for every million illegal aliens that are detained at the border by the U.S. Border Patrol, a minimum of 3 to 4 million come into the United States and stay. Actually, 5 or 6 million get in. Many of them go home, but 3 to 4 million stay. And this has been going on for 15 or 20 years. Big time, it's been going on for 15 years. You do the math. That's 45 to 60 million. I try to be real conservative. 30 million, I think you could take that to the bank. Whether it's 50 or 60 million, who knows? But that needs to be said. Why? The American people need to understand those are people that are competing directly with American citizens, born, raised, and educated here, and they're taking their jobs. That is a fact. And that is what neither party wants to say. And if Donald Trump will say that, he'll win. Now, if he goes further, and this is the key point, building a wall, a double fence, road, cameras, drones, however, that's a first step. It's a necessary step. It's a first step, but that's not going to stop the invasion. I'm sorry, it's not. If you want to roll back the invasion as well as stop it, what is the magnet? What is drawing them here? It's a job. It's not hard to understand. It's a job. That's the primary reason. There are other reasons people come, but that's number one. So you must go after the employers and make examples of them in every town and city across this nation. If you do that, that giant sucking sound you hear is all the illegals going back to Mexico, Central America, and South America because, one, they can't get a job, and number two, they, and this is the second, third point, you got to cut off. No welfare, no education, no medical treatment. Sorry, if you're not a U.S. citizen, go home. You don't have to knock on the doors, throw them in a bus, and take them to the Mexican border. You do that, and people get the message. And the message rings out across Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, and other countries. Americans are no longer suckers. We're the big suckers of this world because of the leadership of the Democratic and Republican Party that have truly crippled America. I like his title. It's appropriate. Who has crippled America? The Democratic Party and largely the leadership of the Republican Party. And it's over. There are two or three key issues. One is immigration. The other is tax reform. And again, I give Donald Trump's position, again, a solid B. He's not an A. There are much better tax plans, and his is not it. It's a B, but it's not an A. So I'm looking forward to reading his book and telling you what I think of it. He is the leader. He has eaten the candy of the Republican establishment in Washington. And they are crying. And they are crying. Really, they're panicking. They're having a fit like little children when you tell them you ate their candy. And I want to give a tip of the hat to Jimmy Kimmel. I don't watch his show. But several years ago, and he's been doing this for several years, he's been showing videos of kids finding out that their parents, usually the mother telling the kids, I ate your candy. And it's interesting to see the reaction. I got to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.